Blog Talk Radio.
La notte a Telvil.
It was very late at night.
Sta sempre a piatra far.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lo stane a marata piatra che non fa la mini.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars.
După mine și aici.
So I thought they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină.
But it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit.
The light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde pleca acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să
faci? You've
been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and I just made it into the studio to be together with you today. It's been a very busy day. I've been running around since about 3 a.m. Yes, I wake up very early, but I also go to bed early. My daughter goes to bed around 8:30, and so I've become one of those people that goes to bed with the sunset. Which allows me to wake up very early, and I tend to get a lot done. It's tempting to jump right into the whole NFL lunacy thing. It's tempting to just head first, cannonball into the most ludicrous thing that has been happening in these United States of late. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to refrain, as the kids like to say, and maybe get into it a little later, because I want to talk about Alabama first. That's right, Alabama. We talked last week about how important it was for good people to stop sitting on the sidelines. We talked about last week how necessary it was for good people gazing at their navels and hoping for the Jesus bus to come and actually get into the fight. I know there are a lot of believers who choose indifference and apathy and then excuse their actions by saying, well, we're not of this world. No, we're not of it, but we're in it. And if we can influence and guide and elect men of character men of substance, men like the aforementioned Judge Moore. I think if we hesitate, or if we do nothing at all, the day may come when God will hold us accountable. Because there's a reason things have gotten so bad so quickly. There's a reason that everything seems to be out of whack, and everywhere you turn, judges are making up the law as they go, driven by agenda rather than by the rule of law. And the reason is the household of faith has been absent when it comes to engaging. It's been absent when it comes to lending a hand in electing noble individuals. And so the riffraff, the detritus, the foul of foul things have become elected officials earning handsome salaries out of the taxpayer coffers because they went unopposed, because nobody else wanted to get into the battle, because nobody else wanted to throw their hat in the ring, as it were. It's a sad reality that the indifference of good people has brought us to this place. And I realize that everybody's got jobs, and everybody's got children, and everybody's got families, and we don't get paid to protest, and we don't get paid to stand outside holding placards. We have things to do. I understand that. But I can't help but feel joy when I saw just how much of Alabama turned out, and how overwhelmingly Judge Moore won this primary. Look, you have to respect a man who stands there and just quotes scripture for 20 minutes on just and not, you know, John 3:16, abstract passages out of, you know, Leviticus and Jeremiah and Hosea. I would wager, if I were a betting man, that Judge Moore knows more of the scriptures by heart than Joel Osteen, for sure. But very likely, he knows more of the scripture by heart than many modern-day preachers and teachers of the word. The man is genuinely in love with God. And it would have been a shame if he had lost to the likes of Luther Strange. So yes, there is still hope on the horizon. And if the elections in Alabama demonstrated anything, it's the fact that most people aren't automatons. They're not engaged in idol worship. They're not doing what Donald Trump tells them to do, lock, stock, and, you know, barrel, just doing exactly as he asks. Donald Trump backed the other guy. But the people saw in Judge Moore a hope for redress, a hope for returning to some semblance of morality, a hope for walking in light again. Because the darkness seems to be consuming everything. Everywhere you turn, something more and more horrid and despicable occurs, where you just stand there and scratch your head and go, how much worse can it get? I've been asking myself this for many, many years. And tragically, it gets worse every time. So I've tried to stop asking myself, how much worse can it get? Because I realize it can get a lot worse. Oh, by the way, no rapture. And sadly, nobody took me up on my genius business plan. The post-rapture pet sanctuary. That, you know, that's what you get for having intelligent listeners. That's what you get for having people listen to your program that actually use reason and logic and deductive reasoning to realize that we're not going anywhere yet. But man, they got excited for a little while there. There were people threatening that other people would be kept out of heaven if they did not believe that the rapture was going to take place. And here we are. All of us woke up in the exact same place we went to sleep. And there was no rapture. No one was caught up. But fear not. Apparently, there was a slight miscalculation. And now the departure date has been moved to October. And this is the sad thing. This is the tragedy, is that we move the goalpost and then we hold our breath again. We move the goalpost. The people that insisted that this would be it are proven liars. They're proven false prophets. And yet, because they give another date, far too many people choose to ignore the fact that they were wrong to begin with. So yes, now October is when we're supposed to be going to the great by and by. So if you've unpacked, well, you know, pack again. And our post-rapture pet sanctuary, still available. So give us a call. Tell us how many pets. And yes, we must demand payment in advance. Because who's going to pay if you get raptured? Oh, sometimes, how do I put this nicely? Far too many Christians are far too gullible. That's as nice as I can put it. Don't be a gullible Christian. Take everything you hear and compare it to the Word of God. See if what you are hearing is in harmony with the Word of God. And if it's not, it doesn't matter who says it, including myself. I'm not exempting myself. I'm not extricating myself from this equation. If I come to you with another gospel, even if angels came to you with another gospel, let them be accursed. But we so readily give in. It's so tempting. It's to want to believe something extra biblical. Because in the back of our minds, we think we know a little more than the next guy. Not realizing that what we think we know is utter fallacy. So, no rapture. I'm very anxious to see how many people ask for their stuff back. Because there were people that went all out. There were people that gave away their possessions. They signed away the title to their vehicles. They left notes with their Bibles on the kitchen table, blaming what had occurred. And yet, they woke up in the same place, and they had to deal with the reality that they believed a lie again. Because a lot of people who believe the date setters, it's not the first time for them. It's not the first time they get caught up in this kind of web. Some people are just gluttons for punishment. And so they keep coming back to the same watering hole, even though the water is poison. And they keep trying to lift up men who've lied to them repeatedly, consistently, who've deceived them, who've caused them great heartache, who've caused them trauma in their lives, who've caused them to have rifts in their families. And still, they cling to these men with greater fervor than they do to God. For in the last days, they will say, look, he is there. Look, he is here. But do not go. For false prophets and false Christ will arise and do what? Deceive many. The word that scares me in that passage is the word many. It's not going to be a handful that are deceived. It's not going to be a few people that are deceived. Many will be deceived. Because the devil's lies get better with each passing day. The devil's lies mimic the truth. Appeal to human nature. They appeal to this desire to escape the coming tribulation. They appeal to this notion that we're special, therefore. And when you press these individuals a little, and when you go, why do you think you're special? They never have a satisfying answer. They don't know why they think they're special. They've been told they are, therefore they are. And then when you point to the Word of God and you show them that God is not a respecter of persons, that there's no such thing as special in God's eyes, that the only delineation is saved and unsaved, they get angry. They get bitter. They shake their fist at God and say, but I thought I was special because so-and-so told me I was. And it's that crushing disappointment that sometimes leads to resentment. Not an easy thing to confront ourselves with the reality that we're not special. It's like that little girl or that little boy who was the best singer in their 300-person town. And they come to the big city and they're utterly rejected and nobody sees their talent. And they don't know how to cope with something like that because in their little enclave, they were somebody. See, a lot of people gravitate towards unhealthy teaching because those that present the unhealthy teaching will always try to elevate the individual and make them seem important. And we love the notion of self-importance. It's not about us. We keep coming back to this because it's important. We keep coming back to this because although I've said it over and over and over again, it seems as though there are still people that believe it. It's not about you. It's not about your well-being. It's not about your happiness. It's not about your best life now. It's not about your joy. It's not about your accomplishment. In you. It's about the work that God does through you. And when we start to get it twisted, and when we start to shift the focus from the will of God and the plan of God and the work of God to us, we will inevitably distance ourselves from the truth, because the truth will compel us to go back to God. See, the heart is a deceitful thing. And I decided to go here because in the past couple weeks, I've had to deal with these situations, counsel people who were going through this, who got duped into believing that it was about them and their calling and their ministry. Once you make it about you, God removes his hand. Once you make it about you, you're no longer in the will of God. I've been asked more than once how it is that our ministry has sustained for so many years. We've been around for a long time. And the one answer that I give consistently, because it's the truth, is that we never made it about us. We never made it about an individual. And even when my grandpa was alive, there were people that tried to elevate him and lift him up and praise him, for lack of a better term. And he detested the idea of having praise heaped upon himself, because he had learned the lesson well. Never make it about you. This is the society we live in. If it's not about us, then what's the point? Well, the point is Jesus. That's the point. And as soon as we stop thinking the way the world thinks, and as soon as we stop living our lives within the framework that the world has created, we will understand what true freedom really is. We will understand what it is to be free. Because as long as there's still that id, as long as there's still that self, as long as we're trying to elevate ourselves rather than the name of Christ, we're not truly free. We're still slaves to self. There is freedom in Christ, but only if we make it about him. So I don't know who this was for, but I hope you receive it. Because the hour is late. As we look around and see what's happening both within this nation and outside its borders, one can't help but wonder how much more this rubber band can stretch before it breaks. Because tension is being applied continuously. Tension is being applied daily. It boggles the mind that with everything going on in the world, some people are so single-minded in their desire to destroy this administration that they're willing to ignore everything else in lieu of having a shot at destroying this administration. Look, the North Koreans, still an issue. The Russians, still an issue. Iran, trying to get nuclear weapons, still an issue. Terrorist cells attempting to make their way into the United States, still an issue. Terror cells within the United States already biding their time, definitely still an issue. And yet, one out of three representatives of the people can only talk about impeachment. Why? For what crimes? And there was one that came out today. Wait, there don't need to be no crimes. If you want to impeach, then we go impeach. And this is the madness that has taken over this nation. Evidently, it's made its way into the NFL. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, this is full disclosure, as it were. I have not seen a football game since Joe Montana was the quarterback and the San Francisco 49ers went to the Super Bowl. I do not remember what year that was, but it was a long, long time ago. I don't own football memorabilia. I do not own football jerseys. And even at the risk of offending some of you, I think it's kind of lame watching grown men chase a ball around or trying to stop the other guy that's got the ball or whatever. So, multimillionaires whose only contribution to society is the fact that they put on a uniform once in a while and run around on a field and get hit by somebody from the opposing team, have decided that they are disenfranchised to the point of protesting. Now, there's two sides to this, and one of them is freedom of speech, and by all means, they have freedom of speech. But if I were to go to my dentist, and rather than do his job, my dentist took a knee and then proceeded to tell me how I'm privileged just because I'm sort of white. I'm not really white. I'm sort of mocha. Not even mocha. I'm brown. I tan well. But, you know, now everybody's privileged. It doesn't matter. It's if you breathe and you have a two-parent household, and your mama and your papa still together, then you're privileged. So that's the new definition of privileged. If you come from a family, which includes a mother and a father, now you are privileged because your parents made their marriage work. That's the one thing that we have to keep in mind, is that the contribution of these multimillionaires to society is the fact that they chase a ball around. They're not neurosurgeons. They're not Rhodes Scholars. They're not attempting to find the cure for cancer or other ailments. A lot of money to play a game. Now, the people who enjoy watching these sports, especially football, are the red-blooded sort of fellows. Men who work hard, do their 9 to 5, come home dusty with blisters on their hands. They take a shower, they sit in their favorite chair, and they turn on a game. They don't want to be preached at about whatever it is they're protesting, because it's still uncertain after all this time. Nobody knows what it is they're taking a knee for. Some say it's police brutality. Others, racial inequality. Others, to each his own. Everybody takes a knee for what they think they should take a knee for. And what they didn't figure on is that the hardworking people who, out of their meager earnings, go and buy tickets to see a game or go and buy a jersey, don't want to be ridiculed and spat upon and looked down upon individuals who enjoy a lifestyle that these people will never know because of these people. If there were no fans, there would be no stadiums. If there were no stadiums, there wouldn't be multi-million dollar contracts. If there were no multi-million dollar contracts, you wouldn't be driving around in a million-dollar car wearing a $20,000 suit. So what they have essentially done is disrupted the ecosystem. In layman's terms, NFL has decided to bite the hand that feeds it. And those that got bit don't seem to be taking it very well. They're not taking it lightly. So people are burning their jerseys, they're burning their game tickets. Personally speaking, if this causes more fathers to spend more time with their children, if it causes more husbands to spend more time with their wives, then by all means, I pray that everyone boycott the NFL, that no one watch a game ever again, because in case you hadn't noticed, it's a waste of time. Actively wasting the most precious resource that you have. Time. And you take the most precious resource that you have and you sacrifice it on the altar of entertainment, and rather than being entertained, the people you are expecting to entertain you decide to spit in your eye. Ever. There was a worse business decision than this. I have yet to discover it. It's like the NFL sat down one day and said, what can we do to disenfranchise and turn off our fan base? Oh, I know. Make a political statement right before the game. A lot of people, most of them, let's be honest, who watch football are military, ex-military, people that know how to use a hammer and a saw, and they know how to change a tire. So the people that the NFL is trying to pander to, not real football fans. Unless the football players started wearing leather chaps and nothing else and oiling themselves down, the people that they're trying to pander to, not interested. You've taken your fan base. You've spat in their eye. And then because some exhibited displeasure at having been spat in the eye, the I guess, the chairman of the NFL. I don't even know what he is. He turns around and calls anybody that's not happy about the protests a racist. Because that's the new buzzword in society today. If you want to shut down an argument, if you want to shut down a discussion, if you want to shut down a conversation, all you have to do is yell racist. And I guarantee you that most of the people who took umbrage with overpaid hacks trying to make a political statement before a football game, most of them are not racist. They couldn't care less. Look, by a vast majority, the NFL is black. It's African American. It's these people that they're now calling racist that financed their lifestyle low these many years. It's these people that they're calling racist that went out and bought their jerseys, that went out and spent exorbitant amounts of money to buy tickets to the game, that paid $300 for their autograph on a football and whatever else. If these people were really racist, there wouldn't be an NFL. But see, again, we've redefined what a racist is. And so now, if you disagree with anyone about anything, well, you're a racist. And that shuts down the conversation faster than anything else. And to be perfectly frank and to be blunt, people are just getting sick and tired of being called things that they're not. I think they've overplayed their hand. And I think that the blowback is going to be more than they can bear. Because I've had YouTube videos forwarded to me all week with people burning their jerseys and their NFL paraphernalia in anger. Just, you know, as an aside, if there are no fans, there's no paycheck. If there's no paycheck, there's no mansion. And the irony of it all is that only in a country like this, only in a nation like America, certain individuals who could barely sign their own name achieve such prominence and success because of their athletic prowess. Now, I realize that some people go, so what's the big deal? Because there is a pattern emerging. Pattern is that those who hate this nation for some inexplicable reason, those who are self-hating individuals, have somehow convinced everyone else that they're in the right. History is being rewritten in this nation at breakneck speed. Everything comes together. Everything is interconnected. This whole NFL protest is not an isolated thing. It's interconnected with the Antifa and with the protesting the statues and with the tearing down of the statues. Because the only way that you can rewrite history on your terms to erase the true history altogether And it makes people more malleable. It makes people more willing to allow these things to happen if they can be convinced that this is a rotten place. If they can be convinced that this is a horrible country. If they can be convinced that places like Venezuela are far better off than these United States. If you want to be scared into reality, ask someone under the age of 18 what they think of socialism or communism. If you want to understand where we're headed and the dangerous future that we face, have a discussion with a young person. Would be the most eye-opening 10 minutes of your life. Because they have no anchor in the past. They were never taught the greatness of how this nation was founded. They were never taught of the noble men who were guided by purpose that came to this land to form a new nation such as the world had never seen before. The only thing they're being taught in school, socialism is the only hope for the world. And again, it's because those individuals who could have made a difference, who could have made an impact, chose to do nothing. That others with just the most inane ideologies have come to the point of teaching our children one thing is certain. If we have placed our hope in anything other than God, then of all men, most pitiable. Especially since we say we know Him. Especially since we say we serve Him. Especially since we say we hear His voice. How can we hope in anything but Him? If we truly know Him. See, my hope is not in a date. It's not in a pre or mid or post-tribulation rapture. My hope is in God. And because my hope rests in Him, I'm not concerned over the when, because I know that whenever He decides, He will keep me until that moment. He is a faithful God. And knowing that He will keep me, and knowing that He will guide my path, and knowing that He is an ever-present help, what is incumbent upon me to do is to labor and do so joyfully and do so to the best of my ability. Because I don't have to be concerned about all these other things. God's got it under control. God will make a way. The only thing that I must concern myself with is to obey His commands. The only thing that I must concern myself with is to be of use to the kingdom of God and to be where He commands me to be, doing what He commands me to do. We can't check out Because after October, after this date comes and goes and nothing happens, guess what? Someone, somewhere, will come up with another date. Someone, somewhere, will see another sign, or their secret decoder ring will tell them something new. And with the internet being what it is, hey, they'll put it out there. And again, people will flock, and they'll defend the lunacy, and they will lash out at those saying, it's not biblical, only to be disappointed, only to have someone else come along with another date, because the cycle never ends. And the only purpose for this, the only purpose for this continual cycle over and over again, is to keep us distracted, to keep us from doing the work that we are supposed to be doing. And it's working. I know that it's not what we want to hear, but it's working. The enemy has realized that by throwing out little baubles, by throwing out these baseless hopes of escapism, can keep the household of faith distracted. He can keep the household of faith from doing what it's supposed to be doing. And as long as he has a distracted church, then the enemy can go about his plans unhindered. And yes, I know, we know who wins in the end. But we've heard that one maybe one too many times. Because just because we know who wins in the end doesn't mean we're not supposed to be doing anything. It means we're supposed to be all the more courageous. It means we're supposed to be all the more bold, knowing who wins in the end, and knowing whose side we're on, and knowing who it is that fights alongside us. Don't be a checked out Christian, please. Because there are far too many of those walking about today. And they're utterly useless for the kingdom of God. Don't be a checked out Christian. Be engaged. Whatever it is, even the smallest thing that you can do, do it. Be an engaged believer. Because this world would be a different place if every believer was an engaged believer. We can't just keep waiting for someone else to pick up the slack. We can't just keep waiting for someone else to do the work on our behalf. It's up to us as individuals to answer the call. It's up to us as individuals to realize that every brick in a foundation has its place. And I've only played it once, but have you heard of the game Jenga, where you remove one piece and then you remove another and you remove another until finally it just comes crumbling to the ground? This is what happens when believers start checking out. It's like spiritual Jenga. One brick is removed from the foundation, then another brick is removed from the foundation. And eventually you can feel it weakening. And then given enough time and given enough bricks being removed, it crumbles into the dust. Are not meant to do nothing. We are not meant to sit idly by and just echo what other people are saying and go, oh, see, yep, that judgment. That's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to be lights. God has called us to be salt. God has called us to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. God has called us to be laborers, called us to be His. And we have no excuse. There is nothing that you will be able to say to God on that day of days to justify lukewarmness in your life. There is nothing that you will be able to say to God on that day of days that will justify indifference and lethargy in your life. Look, every person on the face of this earth has the same 24 hours in any given day. And rather than look at those who labor, rather than look at those who do great exploits and say, wow, I can't believe he can do that, I hope you start asking yourself, why not me too? I do what he does. I have the same 24 hours. Why cannot I be as effective for the kingdom of God as any other individual who is? Because there's always going to be people that we look up to. There's always going to be people that we can point to and say, wow, he's a laborer. And the question remains, why not you? Why not you? Do you have a reason? Do you think that reason is sufficient justification when you stand before God? Because if it isn't, then maybe you should get to work. If it isn't, then maybe you should stop looking for dates and signs and, you know, roll up your sleeve. And lend a hand. Because laborers are always needed. And with that, I thank you for joining us. I know we could have talked about football some more, but I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you coming and fellowshipping with me. And Lord willing, we will be with you once more next week. No plans, so most likely we will be here. Again, thank you for listening. May God bless you. May he keep you. Gino, it's on you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. and we appreciate it very much. If you have a question for Mike, you can email us at lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Also, please check out the website, www.handofhelp.com. If you're interested in Mike's new book, The Battle Ready Believer, all the books, CDs, DVDs are on the website, and music CDs. And there's a new album out called Stand With God, which I believe is appropriate in the hour of what's going on in our country and the eroding of freedom and trying to attempt to protest those things that many soldiers and veterans have defended. Stand With God, the CD. And also, please let your friends know about the radio broadcast on Thursday nights. Get the word out. I enjoy listening to it, even though I'm part of the production end of it. And keep us in prayer. We would really appreciate that. And we pray God bless your evening. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.